T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cody and Gold here in the noon hour. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Grant running the board, producing the show today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, you'll hear from Frank Clark. You'll also hear from Travis Kelce and LDT live here on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's get to what's trending.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
So number one on what's trending continues to be Major League Baseball and how they're handling the foreign substance of the baseball. Sounds like way more serious when you don't say just spider tag. Foreign substance on the baseball. But they're outlining a plan, Cody, and it's from Jeff Passan of ESPN. Essentially, they're going to do a 10-day suspension with pay. So, hey, you're suspended, but we're still going to write you a check. For anyone caught with any sort of substance, from sunscreen mixed with rosin to spider tech, that's the interesting part for me. And a lot of it has to do with the way the CBA is worded. But they're not just saying, oh, if you use the spider tech or anything that's not rosin or sunscreen combination. No, they're not even letting you use the rosin anymore if it's a substance mixed with rosin mixed with sunscreen or anything like that. That's what's interesting to me, because we know for years, longer than I've been alive, longer than you've been alive, rosin, sunscreen, something like that's been used to get grip on the baseball. The spider tack took it a step further. It's kind of like essentially baseball said, we were good with you using this kind of stuff, but you guys took it a step too far. You took advantage of us. And I feel like that's where we're at now with this whole thing.
There's several other things, because the official memo is out. They're threatening any club personnel who might aid in a bed in this, by the way. Crackdown on the sticky stuff. Key deterrent, any club employee who encourages a player to use foreign substances or otherwise trains a player how to utilize a foreign substance in violation of the rules will be subject to severe discipline by the commissioner, up to including permanent placement on the ineligible list. There are also like silly things like, you know, the things that are obvious, right? Like you don't get to apply sunscreen if it's a night game or you're playing in a dome. So, you know, in game. Look, no one can stop you from putting on sunscreen before you get to the stadium or whatever we're going to do.
Yeah.
But if you're playing in a dome, not so sure you need sunscreen on. Random pitcher, forever it is. So they're starting. The crackdown is here. The thing I can appreciate, I know that some players are frustrated about how they haven't been part of the communication of this goal. The one thing you can't argue is they're giving you 2 weeks. They warned you last week they were starting to do it. They started to check. And now they're like, look, starting June 21st, you got 6 days. Straighten up. Stop using it. Throw the normal stuff, or we're going to start cracking down. You've been warned.
Yep, and if you get busted for this 2 weeks from now, then it's absolutely your own fault. Like, you thought they were joking? So it's going to be interesting to see how this impacts pitchers' performance, because I do think, take the spider tack stuff out of it. But a lot of pitchers, the rosin, they are used to using the rosin mixed with sunscreen and everything. So that is going to be difficult for some. I don't think long-term out of baseball it's going to be gone forever. Like, I thought Brad Keller this morning when he was on with Fesco in the morning had mentioned, and I think it's a good idea, he was referencing a tweet, but he agreed with the idea, which was baseball allow one substance, or like one thing that pitchers can use. You've got the one thing that the batters can use as well. Pick between what it is going to be in the offseason with the new CBA. This is the one substance you can use, and that's it. Anything that's not that, we don't care. Anything that's not that is prompting a suspension. Just
I'm
do that.
As you ash and maple bats. Just, you know, Choose whatever the rule is and just tell me what it is. Next up on What's Trending, NBA action last night. There was only one game, Gold. It was between the Clippers and Jazz. The Clippers did even up that series last night. One game again tonight. Next, Nets and Bucks. They're tied at 2 games apiece.
Ooh,
now, of course, Kyrie not that, in it anymore.
Harden's
unavailable. I mean, the Bucks
are getting a break here. This
Giannis
might...
doesn't look right necessarily either, and so it's like the Bucks are getting a break. It feels like they're getting a bit of a pass because the Nets seem like they were heading straight to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It is wide open in both the West and the East, and it is going to make it...
Well, the Suns just chilling.
Yeah. The Suns need to heal up, and they're going to have a chance to do that. Chris Paul's going to get some time off after they swept the Nuggets over the weekend or the other night as well. Next up on What's Trending...
You realize I backed the Nuggets and the Avalanche, and they both immediately got knocked out of the postseason?
I mean, this is not good for you. This is not good.
Go Avs! They immediately lost 4 games in a row and were eliminated by the...
That's not good for you. The Olympics will be at the end of July. At least they're scheduled to be at the end of July in Tokyo, and U.S. champion Shelby Houlihan... I believe that's how you pronounce it. It looks like it to me. Says a contaminated burrito caused her failed steroid test, Cody.
The hell does that mean?
So now we've moved on to the burrito. Blame it on the burrito at this point in time. She's the record holder in the 1,500 and 5,000 meter. She posted on social media. She's banned for 4 years following a positive test. She concluded and she believes it was tainted pork in a pork burrito. We're supposed to believe this. We're supposed to believe this. Like, we hear all the time.
I think it was
all
a steroid injected into your body.
Look, I go to Chipotle multiple times a week.
You're also not tested for steroids.
You're telling me that there's a capability to put some steroids inside some burritos?
In fairness, the thing she tested positive for can be found in pork. So she's not a total liar. In that scenario.
Come on.
But also, I don't buy any of this.
Come on.
That's just the answer that the steroid dealer gives you to say, right? Like, hey, if they ever say this is it, say you got it from pork because it can be found in pork. What are the odds you ended up eating that one tainted burrito? I'm not buying it. Lastly, on What's Trending, notable absentees from their mandatory mini camps today, as we'll head out to Arrowhead coming up at 1 o'clock to hear from multiple players, including Frank Clark, up on live on your official broadcast partner. But there are notable absences across the NFL, not for the Chiefs. Stephon Gilmore, Xavier Howard, and Jamal Adams, all expected not to no-show. I think the one I was actually surprised by was Xavier Howard, because I saw, he'd like a better contract. I was like, God, I thought he was paid a lot. I looked it up. He's the sixth highest paid corner. Was six not good enough?
Not when you think you're the penny you can
out of your NFL career, but I was like,
the best.
You're a top six paid corner. You really feel like you need more. Gilmore, too, is not like he's cheap. And then Jamal Adams, also not a cheap. He was paid not that long ago. I don't know. I'm confused about all of these. Aren't you guys paid pretty well? I guess it makes me kind of thankful that we haven't run into this with the Chiefs just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're under 30 and you're in your mind towards the top of that position, and you feel like that you can reset the market. Or be the highest paid at that position, you feel like you've got some leverage, they're going to use it. And this is the little bit of leverage they have right now, which is to not show up for minicamp. Again, talking about Stephon Gilmore and Xavier Howard. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 20 minutes, your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. But don't forget, coming up on June 24th, that's next week, it'll be on a Thursday. Join us and Miller Lite for Ditch Day at KC Live to watch the Kansas City Royals take on the New York Yankees. We're going to be out there having some beer, giveaways, Royals tickets, yard games, ballpark food, and guess what? It is all completely free. Ditch work for a few hours with us. We're going to be doing that on Thursday, June 24th.
There's going to be drink specials, and like you mentioned, ice cold Miller Lite to go with us here at 610. And I would tell you, there's very simple decision with it. Like, you don't want to go to work. It's going to be hot and sunny, and you might as well sit outside with us. As a matter of fact, if you come down there and have a couple of beers with us, a few Miller Lights cold, I'll take on someone in some bags. You and I versus a pair of listeners. I don't want to even team up with you.
Wow.
I'd like to go against you.
I'd rather have a listener on my team than you anyway.
It's not a game I play all that regularly, but I still feel confident that based on how other athletic events between the two of us have gone,
I'll
get you covered.
Yeah, let's play some bags or cornhole, whatever you want to call it. Same thing. And there's huge
I don't
debate.
Care what you call
it's a debate
call.
Over that on Twitter the other day. I always call it, let's play some cornhole.
June 24th, that's Ditch Day down at Kansas City live with Miller Lite and 610 Sports Radio. Please come join us. Royals and Yankees. Again, it's free. There'll be ice cold drink and beer specials, giveaways, like you said, autograph stuff, the whole deal.
Man.
It's going to be an awesome time.
Yeah, I can't wait. June 24th, thanks to Miller Lite and 610 Sports Radio. As far as the Royals go, look, the road trip was terrible. Last night was terrible as well. This team, if you're looking at the bright spot right now, it is impossible to find. It just is. It doesn't mean that the future can't be bright still. But right now, when Andrew Benintendi yesterday ended up on the IL, and it's a rib fracture, so unfortunately, I think we all know that's not a short-lived type of injury. And so he was one of those bright spots in the lineup, a guy you felt like you could count on each day. And now he's not in the lineup. And I think we saw a glimpse of it last night. Despite base runners, they stranded so many base runners last night. Where are you getting the offense from? That's the issue right now. I mean, we can get into the pitching as well, but truly in the offense, where are you going to find that? A team that had struggled offensively, even if they were ranked in the big leagues a little bit higher than probably most people felt like, if you watch the Royals, I don't know, now they probably have slid back a little bit, Cody, but where are you getting the offense? Benintendi's not in the lineup now. We know Hunter Dozier's had a terrible season. Jorge Soler's been awful last night. He had an okay game, but he's been awful. And, you know, even though Whit Merrifield, I still think, is capable of great things, he's had a down year comparatively to where he's been. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities in the lineup where you're like, yeah, I know that guy's the guy I want up for the key at bat. There's not many. I can give you an answer of who it is, but I don't feel great about any of those options right now.
To be a positive force on this at a moment, because it's not an easy time to be a positive force in the Royals, because obviously they're sliding again. And I assume they'll get hot again, because that seemingly has been their methodology for a majority of this season. It probably isn't coming in the next few weeks. They're going to be without Benintendi. I don't have a good answer for you if you're saying, hey, where's the offense coming from? I'm praying some guys just come around. I don't have an actual tangible answer for you. It's like, oh, here's how they make it work. They got Kelvin Gutierrez hitting fifth and sixth some nights. If Benintendi's out, he's hitting fourth. Soler hit fourth last night. None of that's good. Like, that's not a stable version of the offense. When earlier in the year, before I realized Dozier was going to have bad, before the season started, I'm like, man, a lineup with Dozier hitting seventh, that's a good major league lineup. Now that I know what everybody's doing, an order with Soler hitting fourth is not it. But this team does still have plenty of room to be better. And going into next year, my standard for them will still be postseason. I don't care where
they've set themselves up for that. Absolutely.
They have to be held to that standard. They have to be a postseason team next year, or it is a disappointment. Now, that doesn't mean when we do our season predictions goal of what their record is, doesn't mean it's going to stop me from saying 83. But their expectations and the disappointment comes if they don't make the postseason. The bright side is there is a ton of room to get better. With just stabilizing, you get better. Salvador Perez has already been where he is. Dozier and Soler, we know those things. And then young players, young hitters who could be better, whether that be Kyle Isbell at some point getting called back up, Olivares for the next few weeks, and a slew of young starters who have really struggled. The problem is that it's hard to see the forest through the trees right now because they are a veteran team, Gold, and still inconsistent. I feel like normally where we see the inconsistencies in a lineup perspective come from teams who haven't been together, and they've been together a long time.
They have, but I mean,
not all of them.
I don't disagree with where it's like, hey, if this player plays this way, they can be a lot better. But that's, look, they're a below average team right now. They're below 500, so they're a below average team, whether you think that's actually what they are or not. That's what they are right now. And you're right, they're streaky. They're a streaky team, but this, hey, well, they haven't even had Hunter Dozier can obviously play better. Yeah, we've seen
it's almost impossible for him to play worse.
Yeah, but it's also like, what on earth should make me believe that Hunter Dozier is going to end up salvaging this season?
The rest of a career? Like this season, maybe not. And maybe that's
what I'm saying this year. I'm not saying that next year he can't hit the reset button, but I was very high on Hunter Dozier entering the season. We were talking, we did our prop bets before, and he was one of the, I think I took the over on a couple of his numbers.
We all took over. Someone's going to win with like one.
Yeah, and I said that because I felt like, you know, you go back, of course, the COVID stuff for him a year ago, and then prior to that, he had some injury stuff, and he was like, all right, Hunter Dozier finally has like a fresh start, it felt like, this year. And then he started right away, unfortunately, with the issue with the hand, I think it was, right? The hand or finger, whatever it was. And he just never got going. And then now the rest is history so far this year. It's June 15th, and he's had a horrific season. And so
that's the other thing with like hand injuries with baseball players.
We can do that all the time, though. Like I can say, Mondesi, he's only played 6 or 7 games this year. He was
great.
Yeah,
but notice I haven't mentioned him in the like, hey, if he just stays on the field, look how much better they are. I'm done having that conversation. I understand what you're saying, but career numbers for Dozier and Soler would suggest they're slightly better baseball players. And if Soler isn't a part of this team at some point this year or next year or whatever, they are likely to get better offensive production no matter who the player is. And I do mean no matter who it is. If it's Kyle Isbell, if it's Edward Olivares, if they called up some kid from Single A, At this point, he would be as productive on the season. Now, Soler has actually played quietly a little bit better since he came back from the IL. He's not, I wouldn't say he's got like a 360 on base percentage. He's only hitting like 240, but he's got
250,
like
two doubles, two homers, six walks, five strikeouts.
He's been better. Yeah, more walks than strikeouts is maybe the most encouraging side of all of it. So there's no, like, he might play better during the stretch. That might be the answer for where you get more offense, but yeah, optimism right now is bleak.
Yeah,
because the team is just not playing well, and now they're having more injuries come and get them.
And we would all be, I think, feeling better. If you told me, even if their record was the same, and if somehow the wins and losses were the same, but Kowar would have looked good, or Lynch would have looked good.
Different guys failing, you'd feel different.
Yeah, and like last night, Brad Keller, after...
Because Soler failing in the long term doesn't matter.
Exactly. He's not part of the long-term future. We know the guys that we feel like we know the guys that are needing to be crucial for 2022, 3, 4, 5, and beyond, potentially, right? And those young pitchers are certainly part of it. Brad Keller's part of that as well, we think. And, you know, he's had a very rough season. It seemed like he kind of stabilized things, and then last night happens. And so... Yeah, that's where we're all at with the frustration. And just last night when you have, 14 men on base and you go 1-for-14, 1-for-13, whatever it was.
Yeah, they're like 2-for-36 or something.
Just, yeah.
With runners in scoring position.
And it's against the Tigers. I mean, it's against a Tigers team that's not very good. And you're supposed to, we think you're a better team. You are a better team than they are. But injuries stack up. All of it comes together. And nothing, the bullpen's not rolling because they're coming in with long relievers right now. You got Irvin Santana, who's been fine, but... He's been pitching. By the fact that we've seen a lot of Irvin Santana recently tells you all you need to know about where the starting rotation has been. Hopefully they get Duffy back this weekend. Maybe. We'll see. Right? It'd be nice to a welcome sign, but is he fully stretched out yet? We don't know the answer
to
that.
And Mondesi at some point? Like they said homestand, Ryan Lafleur, but he's also talking like time zones and flights, so I have no idea. Like there's...
that time zone thing was...
That was still something. It's been tough. And yet... They're not a laughing stock. Like, I will say that. Like, I don't think it's fair when people put out... It was our friend Ken Swanson. Like, I don't think it's fair when you're like, in their last 40 games, they're on a 57-win pace. Okay, but... Like, we don't let... Gold, you and I don't let people off the hook when they try to do that, when they try to erase losing streaks. Like, if the Royals didn't lose 11 games in a row, what would their record be, Gold? They'd be 6 games above 500! Hell, if they just went 500 during those games, it'd be a 500 baseball team. With all of these things going wrong... That 11-game losing streak happened. This 40-game stretch have happened, but they're not a 57-win team. Their record to this point, 65 games into there, say they're a 75-win team. Is that perfect? No. Is that a big jump from 2 years ago when they were a 59-win team? Yes. Is it a big enough jump from last year over a 60-game season when they would have paced to about 73? Maybe not, but it is an improvement. Like, we wanted to see the jump to the low 80s, high 70s. But we were also not unrealistic, and that might still happen. They're in a bad slump. What happens when they play good again? The problem is right now is like talking myself into them having a good 20-game stretch over the next 20 games is hard because nobody's pitching well, and now Benintendi's gone in an order of guys who'd been struggling. So like it's hard to like sell that they're getting ready to go on a winning streak because it's hard to put those pieces together.
Reminder, at 1 o'clock, you'll hear Frank Clark, Travis Kelce, and LDT live here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs as mandatory minicamp gets going today. And that fact that you see Frank Clark and LDT speaking, and also you may have seen the media day video that the Chiefs did yesterday, you know that those guys are in Kansas City, which is obviously a positive sign. And there was people talking about OTAs and why those individuals weren't there. So that was really good. We're also just about 10 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. So I don't watch PTI as much as I used to. It used to be something on the way home from school or when I would get home from school, PTI was must watch and Around the Horn was must watch. I don't watch as much as I did, but they were talking, Wilbon and Kornheiser were, about the college football playoff. And I thought Tony Kornheiser was 1,000% correct in this exchange. Just take a listen.
It's too much. Somebody needs to stop them. I don't know who that somebody would be, but these are the same people who didn't want one.
Hold on a second. Because let me tell you who won't stop them. This network, because college football is a gold mine, and ESPN will line up to hand people money. As Don Allmyer used to say, the answer to all your questions is money. Yep. And that's a gold mine, so they're going to do it.
Because Wilbon said he thinks the playoff is just a money grab. Kornheiser's 100% right. Yeah, like that.
What do you mean?
Of course.
This is good for the sport. This is not just a money grab. This is good for college football.
You don't actually buy that.
Like, yes, absolutely. I do.
I love the fact that there looks like in 2024 they're going to go to 12 teams. More games as a fan, I like that in that scenario, in a playoff format. I certainly, from a gambling perspective, you know that. It means more opportunities to gamble on some big-time games that are showcase games. I love that. But of course, it's about money and it's a cash grab. We all know this. It's not as if suddenly the SEC and all the big boys decide, you know what? We just want to do this for our fans. BS. We don't actually believe that. Look, no, the SEC and these other conferences lost their ass due to COVID, and they want a quick way to make up some of the money. And guess what? The SEC feels like we now have a chance to get an extra team or two out of that 12-team playoff, and that means an extra team or two is more money for our schools and more money for us as a conference. Of course it's a money grab. As long as you recognize that, then you shouldn't get all that upset about it. That's why I'm like, okay, I get it. It's a money grab. It's the same reason why bowl games exist, period.
Bowl games are money grabs. I got no argument for that. And I'm not saying they're not going to make money in this. I'm not stupid. I know that the SEC stands to make more money. I know that college football stands to make more money by doing this. I know they'll make more money. But it is better for the sport. They should argue that. It's absolutely better for the sport. No professional sports league. And yeah, I don't care what the NCAA tries to tell you. That is a professional sports league with billions of dollars on the line. Only does four playoff teams. Champions League isn't just four playoff teams. If you want Rob to come in here, MLB playoffs, NFL, no NCAA, other championship, baseball, basketball, tennis. It doesn't matter. All those have more. No sport on earth only allows four people into their final championship.
Yeah, we're not arguing that.
Limits, but that to me is where this is actually better for the sport. Like, I know that there's money involved, but I don't think it's just look, for those come schools, on. It might be. But for the entirety of the NCAA, I'll actually give them this one. This is better for the sport because it gives it a chance. I'm not saying it's going to take a long time. I told you earlier it's going to take a decade
the effect,
to get an even playing field.
The effect can be that it's better for the sport, although I've told you while it'll lead to our local schools at some point getting in to a playoff and feeling good about themselves, I don't think it changes the end result of who's champion. Yeah, maybe every 15 years you'll have I always use the example of the upset in the Fiesta Bowl with Oklahoma losing to Boise State. Yeah, that might happen occasionally. Coastal Carolina might once win a couple games, but you're asking them to go win 3-plus games to get to a national championship game. I just don't think that's feasible. The way college sports are set up, college football in particular, the gap and recruiting and with scholarships and everything like that, I don't think it's reasonable to think that it's going to change the end result. Like, yeah, the effect, you're right. Like, I'm fine with them going to 12. You want them to go to like 16 or more. I think 12 is a good number. I'm just saying if we do the real like cause and effect, the effect is better for the fans. The cause is money, not causes. We just felt like our sport
money
really
grab
needs
makes
that.
It seem like we're just creating things to make money off that serve no other benefit.
I think that serves no other benefit.
To me, a money grab is a bowl game. It serves no benefit. It does nothing at all other than let's just play one more game for money. Like, it doesn't like change where you rank at the end of the season. It doesn't change who gets a better recruit. All it does is like give some weird stat line for a coach to be like, I won X number of bowl games. It actually provides nothing. Like, to me, that's what a cash grab becomes. It is about just getting money, not providing anything. This provides something. This makes the sport better. Fans are better. Everything's better, in my opinion, if they have more teams involved.
2024 still is. That's the thing. We got 3 years, yeah, probably.
It's too damn long.
To see how this all...
Just fire it up. Let's just do it now. Come on.
I wish. I mean, yeah. If they can make this work.
Let's just fire this bad boy
immediately, but they got to take some time. They got to take some time to, I guess, get everything all organized. Hey, coming up next, your chance at $1,000 international cash contest. And is there a regret already with this contract in KC? We'll tell you whose it is next. Back here on Cody and Gold, 30 minutes from now, we'll head out to Arrowhead and hear from Frank Clark, Travis Kelce, and LDT as Chiefs mini camp, which is mandatory, gets underway today, live right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, though, let's give you a shot at $1,000.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour in the National Cash Contest is poem. When was the last time you wrote a poem, Gold?
Wrote or read? Both. Long time.
Either, really.
Long time.
Greg, you seem like you'd write a poem.
I've read some poems.
Actually, yeah. No, what was the name of the
Ode on a Grecian Urn?
No, the girl that...
That's the one everyone's read.
The inaugural poem of this year, which was really impressive. And she came out with the book. I didn't buy it, but she came out with the book. Anyway, so I actually read some of her other work because I was very impressive that day. So I actually take that back. I have read one fairly recently.
See, poem. That's the word. P-O-E-M, poem. Just text that over to 72881 to be a $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Another chance at 1:30. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL, B-E-T-Q-L. One more time, that word poem, P-O-E-M, to 72881.
So we were talking about the Royals last night, and certainly this first 3 months of the season here, and Hunter Dozier, prior to the season, got a new four-year, $25 million contract. And if I'm a Royals fan, which I am, and I'm looking at that, and you're kind of like, all right, it's not a lot of money, thank goodness. It's not 4 years, $80 million. It's 4 years, $25 million. But to sign an extension and then come out and have the type of season Hunter Dozier has had, also some injuries involved, I mean, this thing could not have gone any worse. And it does make you say, all right, I need to look back up that contract again, which is what I did last night, because it's still only $25 million in baseball in the grand scheme of things.
Which is nothing.
But for the Royals, I think we do have to look at financials differently. If this was the Yankees, it's like...
And you don't want to throw money away.
You can't. The Royals can't afford to. Cody, I don't care what the dollar amount. They can't afford to throw money away. They don't. I mean, the book is tight. And
so just throwing away $6 million per year this over year, 4 years would be bad.
The way a contract broke down again, just to refresh everybody, $2.25 million in this year. Second year, $4.5 million. Then the third year goes to 7.25. The fourth year, 9. And then they have a club option for $10 million, and there's a $1 million buyout. And there's these escalators of $1 million based off of incentives, which you don't have to worry about that this year, the way the performance has been. It's hard for me not to look and say, like, yeah, the extension, it doesn't mean that he can't next year be an impactful player. But right now, yeah, the extension looks like a mistake. Yes.
There's no reason to regret it yet. And I know that, yes, I mean... I don't know how the hell I'd say that this contract's off to a great start.
I was like, I wanted to see how you're going to sell me on it being a good thing so far.
Like, look, I'm not here to do that.
It can't be, man.
It's not. But there's just no reason to regret it yet. I talk a lot on this show, and I stand pretty strongly by it, which is you should trust a lot more in what someone has done on aggregate in recent history than you should one small sample size. Now, look, last year was actually one of the worst years for Dozier from a batting average perspective and more in line, actually, with his career average. He's a 240 career hitter. Last year, he had 228. The year before that, it was 279. That's the year that got him paid when he had 10 triples and 26 homers and all the things. That year does look like an outlier. I'm not going to lie. That year looks like an outlier. But if you just take his career numbers and he is that again, this deal still won't be bad. 240 hitter, 311 on base, 440 slug, 750 OPS. I am not going to pretend to you that those are numbers for a future all-star player in this league. But at $6.5 million a year, that guy can be your flex third baseman, first baseman, right field, DH, whatever guy, if you're not going to permanently do that, assuming you've got the other guys surrounding around it to cover the distance. I think it's easy to just be like, well, this gang's a wash. And look, the one mistake they made was they didn't have to pay him right then. They could have waited to see how he performed again, went through the arbitration process like normal, paid him before they ever got to the meeting, and it would have probably cost him a little bit less. But truthfully, I do a lot of research on the arbitration stuff. It wouldn't have cost him way less. So no matter what, if they were going to stick with Hunter Dozier, unless they were willing to walk away from him at the end of this year, walk away from him at the end of next year, this was the cost.
Yeah, I feel like
it wasn't going to be significantly cheaper, even if he went through arbitration.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about Soler, and obviously, I know you're not on board with him long term. None of us are. No. But I feel like anytime we've talked about this with Mondesi too, I feel like you're willing to just pay everybody.
I'm willing to take the risk early because for the same reason I would have taken the risk with Dozier at that time.
Based on 5 months really of strong play,
if it's a disaster. No offense to like me spending their money, but if it's a disaster, $25 million is nothing in baseball. It's over four years.
Shouldn't be.
It's over 4 years. Like that doesn't like we're
it
talking.
Shouldn't be, Cody, but I still think for Royals organization, it's not. You're not. We'll write off the $25 million.
Over the last, let's say, post-World Series, let's call 2017 on 2017, 19, 20, and 2021. The average Royals payroll is about $90 million-ish. If you're taking $6 million of that, we're talking 6%. Like, 6% should not sink your boat. Like, that to me was the reason why more often than not, I am willing to pay players early because if it goes poorly, it can hurt you a lot less. This is the model, actually, the White Sox have been doing. Now, look, the White Sox have had success because those guys have been good.
Yeah, the White Sox took it to an extreme. They had a bunch of...
But I would do it that way because, like, to me, then I'm not paying anyone too much money. If I pay seven young players early, let's say right now, I give contracts to Brad Keller. And I know after last night, you're probably like, what the hell are you doing? I give them to Brad Keller.
You want to give contracts to everybody.
Brad Keller, Hunter Dozier, Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch, Bobby Witt Jr. In total, they're on average all going to make $10 million a year over the course of a seven-year contract. And that's still high. It's probably lower than that. Let's say it's $50 million for 5 years, right? And I still don't think it's anywhere close to that. That means if just half work out to being really good major leaguers, you're paying everyone aggregate lower than what you would normally pay them on the open market. That's why I'm willing to take those risks. You're right. You're saying everyone. There are certain players I still wouldn't do it with just because I don't believe in them personally as a player. But if I think they've got the chops to be a major leaguer for the next 4 years, I would. I'd pay them early before they ask for more money, and I'd take the risk that 3 out of 5 worked. I would hope that I'm smart enough to make 4 out of 5 work, and I would take my chances.
Look, I'm not against paying players, obviously, in terms of ahead of time. Look, I think we've talked about when, in a different scenario, when Salvador Perez got his contract extension, and some people were questioning it. I had no problem with that because this was before he even had the type of season he's having this year, because I still was banking on the fact that that year off that he had prolonged his career, and banking on what I've seen in St. Louis with Yadi over there as their catcher, and that you can play at a high level until you're 36 years old, for example. So I liked the Salvador Perez contract. That one appears like, and we'll find out even more in the years to come, but the way they're going to manage him, letting him DH a little bit more, and the way they've handled it, even though
he's played tremendous. Even the raise they gave him ended up
I'm talking about the one this offseason, obviously, as well. But there's no question about the first one. We know that
was a paying a guy early situation.
Yeah, and that one also, as we know, his agent should never have allowed that deal to happen. But
probably not.
There's also family circumstances that come into play when you're talking about some players in baseball. I think that's why the White Sox were able to do what you just said, because that was not a situation. Those were players, I believe they were all Cuban-born players and Latin American players as well. So they were able to go out and offer them life-changing money, but also a lot less than what they knew it would cost. And they did that to 4 or 5 guys. And guess what? All 4 of them have all panned out. Yeah, Robert's hurt right now. I get it. But those guys have all...
Yasmani Grandal, like, we can talk about, like...
He was a veteran in the league already. I'm talking about, there's the, Garcia, I think the three were Garcia,
Lowry.
Robert, Larry Garcia.
There was a bunch. There was a pitcher, too.
There's a group of them. Yeah.
They just throw numbers at it. And the reason was, like, again, you don't, let's just say it's $25 million, right? Because they paid Witt 16. So they've done this now twice, Gold. They bought out people. They didn't pay them early, but they bought him out rather than go through the process. They gave him an extra year on the back end. They signed on to an extension. So between Whit Merrifield and Hunter Dozier, for 9 years of service time, they're in for $40 million. It honestly doesn't matter if Dozier fails. The plan worked. Like, that sounds stupid, but, like, already the plan worked. Because Whit is going to be a productive $40 million player, right? Over a 4-year, 5-year span. He's worth $10 million.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about Whit. I'm not talking about Whit.
No, I know, but, like, to me, they are, like... The plan only works. The reason why you don't regret the Dozier contract, it works if you keep doing it. You can't be gun-shy on the Dozier deal.
2 years from now. So 2 years from now, let's say what we're seeing this year.
Look, if we're saying, like, as an individual basis, should they have signed or did that contract work? The answer is going to be, like, I can't just say, like, yeah, totally.
Well, that's what I'm getting. I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Like I don't regret it yet because I think it's a throwing numbers at the problem.
You're okay with the overall thought process behind the deal, clearly.
You can be afraid to crack a few eggs. No, I'm not afraid to make mistakes.
But that's fine. But the way things are trending, we'll find out more so into next season as well. You can say you're okay with the process and why they ended up doing it. It doesn't mean it's a good contract.
No, after 3 years, and look, there's no way 1 year is not going to determine right now, Dozier's contract.
3 months into it, now it doesn't look good. But no, anybody saying
it's 200 for the next 3 years, they missed on that one and they shouldn't have done it. But I would say that don't let that be the reason why you don't do more of these. This is the way to do it. I told you I'd give Mondesi a contract today. I'd still give him a contract. Yeah. I'm impossibly frustrated with Mondesi. If he would take low money to
that's
stay,
the thing,
if he would take below
would
his,
he?
Look,
why
I'm not saying why he would do it.
That's what I'm, that's why
but
I don't
if
think
the
it
Royals
happens.
Put a contract on the table that was below market value for Mondesi, so I'll do it. I'll take all those chances because I think if you can, like, especially as a small market team, there's a way to finagle the system that works that way. And then when guys, if you do, for the guy you decide to not do it with, because again, you got to be convinced that they're the player. Like, you got to be convinced they can play. But if it's, you know, I'll take those chances. They seem worth it to me in baseball. I feel like that's an effective method to build a team.
Yeah, and look, hopefully it doesn't, you know, if that's the route they go, it takes two to tango on that. It has to make sense for the player involved as well. It can be great for a club. But right now, and I get the frustration, I'm certainly with what we've seen so far from Hunter Dozier, just the optics of it, from a, if you're just a fan and you see the optics of it where someone gets a contract extension and then this is the production you're getting right away. You can understand why fans are looking at it and saying, ugh, this, that looks terrible.
And look, they've signed a couple of bad long-term contracts here lately. Like, you know, the Gordon one, he is an all-time hero. I don't regret them giving them the money, but, you know, they didn't get their money's worth. Ian Kennedy, they didn't get their money's worth. I mean, he didn't even get to the end of the contract, practically. They had to walk on that thing. And they've seen these things through. Like, I think they'll see the Dozier contract through. They don't like to just throw money away with 2 years remaining on it, like the Omar Infante deal.
Oh, and look,
but for those, like, Witt's deal worked. Salvador Perez's the first time through worked. Even the extension they gave him, the extra money they gave him because they paid him too little, worked. Like, Dayton doesn't always miss on these. So, like, to me, it's like take a lot of small chances. The big ones are the ones that hurt. When you give someone $75 million and it doesn't work, that stinks. When you give someone 25 and it doesn't, whatever.
All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. For you, Gold. For you, Grant. And over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Also, we got to decide, is he Grant 1 or 2? There's another Grant who runs the board sometimes.
You know what's funny about that? I went to college with him.
Wow, that's...
Two Grants! What would you guys go by then? Did you go by, like, the last initial?
Well,
was it
he was the senior on the college radio station. So
would you prefer Grant 2 or Baby Grant or Grant Jr.? What would you prefer in that scenario?
Well, I'd prefer none of those, honestly.
Yeah.
You don't like any
That's
of those.
Why I've just been calling
if you
him.
Go, if you have to, like,
I've just been calling him Grant all day.
Yeah, if you have to differentiate, you can just use Miller.
Okay.
A really generic last name poll.
Or what's your middle name? Could we go by that?
Edward.
That's
Call me Ed.
We've got Edward across the glass today. Edward.
It's Cody Gold and Ed back there today. That doesn't sound right.
Eddie.
Yeah, you could shorten all kinds of names. You got several. That's not my random question,
okay,
by the way. My random question comes via Charles Barkley, who was telling this story last night on NBA on TNT about someone finding his lost wallet that eventually led to a very interesting question that I'm confused by.
I lost my wallet today, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Powell's, P-Y-L-E-S, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it.
You still carry a wallet?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Are you like the only person in the world that still carries a wallet?
Yeah. Ernie, why you lose your wallet? My story.
We use a wallet.
Chipotle.
Real fat, you know that?
Kenny, do you carry your wallet?
Matt, you're a Georgia Bulldog. Thank you, Georgia Bulldog.
I have a
Bulldog.
Wallet some days, and then some days I just use my...
Shaq, you carry a wallet?
I have a badge, sir.
Okay. Wait, nobody carries a wallet but me?
Yeah. That's my random question.
And they cut to commercial there.
But this is a fair question from Charles Barkley.
Good point from Chuck, by the way. I was glad, though, he went to Chipotle. Good job.
Yeah, of course. 913-576-7610 is the text line. Did people stop carrying wallets? Now, look, we might all have a different definition of wallet. The one I currently have is more like a wallet, only because the other one disintegrated from use. I don't know. It just fell apart.
Yeah, that's what
I prefer
happens.
The current wallet style I go with is the one that doesn't bifold in any way. It's just flat.
Yeah.
Holds maybe like 7 cards. There's a little pocket in the middle if I had like a, you know, 20 that I don't want to keep in there. That's a wallet still, right? It's not a bifold or a trifold wallet you take from
It's a wallet, but it's not what they're talking about.
So you think that Chuck...
It's what I have. I just pulled it out of my pocket. This thing.
That's a wallet.
Let me slam that down.
A big honking piece of leather right there.
Slam that down. Well,
why do you have so much in it?
I've always wanted a Switch. In fact, I'm probably going to go online and buy one of those phone ones. You know, it's a phone case, but you can slide 6 cards in it. I think that's what I've always wanted to get. But honestly, I need your help. How do I switch to something different? Because I've got this Costanza-type wallet here.
It's impressive.
And I don't normally carry cash. I just so happen to have some cash.
It's like $11. It's not making your wallet too thick. Like, you've got other problems.
All right, so what do I? So if I only have six cards I can fit in this case I'm going to buy, all right, driver's license.
It'll fit like nine.
No, like it
just
says,
double them
it
up
says,
on one.
Yeah, they're cards. They're not that thick.
It needs to be able to, you need to be able to actually, you know, get the cards out easily. So.
Nah, you just put them in an order, man. You know you do. The least used ones get jammed into one slot.
How often do you pull cards out of your wallet?
Like, if it's your insurance card Joe's KC gift card that you've been keeping in your wallet,
that's what I want to
know. It goes in the back.
I have, let's say.
If it's your Chipotle card, keep it in the front.
I buy, that's all digital. That's easy, at least. So there's, if there's six
can you digitize
card
the Joe
slots.
One?
What's that?
Can you digitize your Joe one? Your Joe's KC one?
No. So, all right, one slot. I'm serious. So we're doing this. Driver's license, the one. Then I need my health insurance card is two. Then I gotta have the debit card. Then I want to have one of the credit cards.
Okay, so,
all right, that's already
just to be clear.
Four.
I have all those things in my wallet, and look at your wallet. And currently, I normally carry a much skinnier one, but it broke, so I have not bought a new one. So I'm carrying a different wallet that
what
I
am I supposed to do with this? I got the Vision card too.
Look how much skinnier mine is than yours. All those things are in my wallet.
Yeah,
what
I only
are
named
you doing?
Four. I got another. I got my the HSA card. I got the Joe's gift card. I've got the Topgolf card.
Take the Topgolf.
Why?
It's nothing against Topgolf or tee shots. You don't need to carry it. Do you ever, have you ever in your life gone to Top Shot on a whim?
No.
Or tee shots on a whim, right? You planned it.
Yeah.
You get the card from home.
But look how many I've already laid out. These are all, so you're saying Topgolf, just leave it in the glove box or something, and if I happen to go?
I have like a little pouch at home.
Yeah, everyone carries like a little backpack or bag with them if they're really going out for a day.
What about like the Joe's gift card? Just like leave, just what if someone all of a sudden wants to go get lunch? Like, let's say after the show, you said, Gold, I'm hungry.
You drive your car, right?
I do drive my car,
Put it in the car.
What about the casino card?
What? You don't need to have that on your person.
You don't need that on your person. That's another planned event.
All right, hold on. What about, that's okay.
If you're going to show me any business card,
no.
Right into the trash, you don't need it.
No, I have the Target card. There you go.
Like a gift card?
No, the credit card. There it is. There's two. So look, that's a debit card.
That's all that's in there?
It's a debit card, two credit cards.
That's all that's in there? Why is it so thick?
No, there's other stuff in there.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's all receipts, isn't it?
No.
It's candy?
It's cash. Yeah.
And what else?
Just random, like, they're not, like, they look like credit cards, but they're linked to, like, my Robinhood account. Like, it looks like it's a credit card.
You need those on you at all times.
It's the Robinhood debit card, but it's just so you have your Robinhood balance on there. That makes sense.
Yeah, you don't need to carry that.
Okay.
And
I have a Venmo one. So, like, Venmo, when you Venmo me, I can also use the card instead of just having to use the app.
Okay, look, but just.
I feel like we're clearing out your attic right
now.
How
often do you do that?
And you have to let go.
Not very often, but that's why I have all these cards. See, the ones I guess I fully have to have. I could just go with the. I'm going to order this case for the phone.
Like, look at the difference here. We carry a similar number of cards.
Yeah.
And this is thicker than I would normally carry wallet wise.
Hmm. All right. Well,
what's the text line say?
Text line says.
Are they on all digital? Look, I carry some.
It says if you don't use it weekly, it can be stored at home or your car. So I guess all I'm going to carry is the driver's license, the medical card, one credit card, debit card, and that's it.
Oof. Yeah, that's it, man.
All right. And leave the rest
in the glove
box. You're
in front of your computer ready to buy something with a credit card because you're like, I'm going to get that. I don't know, whatever. I don't know what kind of things you buy frivolously.
I mean, that's what PayPal's
everything.
For. You already got that saved.
Everything. What's that? I mean, I more and more I'm using Apple Pay, so I don't even have to pull out the wallet. More and more I will just, like, if I go to the grocery store, I'll just go Apple Pay, and I'll just put my phone up there and pay. It's great. Same when I go to PetSmart for dog food. I don't pull the wallet out at all. So you're right. Probably need to make the switch. I've been putting it off for a while. Text line says Ridge Wallet.
Someone said from the 913, only thing I carry is my Dave & Buster's. That's not pertinent, just in case someone wants to throw hands. Just go in there to fight people with Dave & Buster's. Someone says they carry a Merce, like a European style.
No, I'm not doing
stylish
that.
And
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
We're trying to downsize here.
Someone says the Rich Wallet holds 12 to 15 cards. Huh. Well, I think
at that point, it's
going to
be so thick anyway, right?
Yeah, I just ordered. It's a iPhone case that holds six cards on the back of it. I'm going to try that for a little bit and see how that works out. I'm going to try to switch so I don't. And also, I must point out, when I have the wallet, I'm a front pocket wallet guy because it hurts my ass when I sit on the wallet. I can't be doing this show like right now. That's very uncomfortable.
You can always move it.
I'm off. Like it's just not. I'm off balance when I do.
Or sometimes it's in my bag.
Yeah, I go. So it says screw them all. Gold, keep the wallet. Thank you.
Look, it's pretty thick.
It is.
Man.
I mean, It is.
Look,
it's a self-defense tool right there.
Also, how long have you had the thing? It's fallen apart.
Yeah.
Get yourself a new wallet.
Yeah, this one's 3 years old.
When mine was falling apart,
only 3 years
I just
old.
Got a new, you know, I just used this old one.
Yeah, it's 3 years old.
You can find a wallet that looks exactly like your old one, so you don't have to change at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've done over the years. I normally don't even have the cash. I only have the cash because I was in Colorado, and there's certain things you can only buy with cash there, so that's why.
Drugs. Talking about drugs, Grant.
Legal
trucks.
All right, that's the random question.
It's true.
Of
it's very different.
The day coming up next, we're gonna go out to Arrowhead live here on 610 Sports Radio. You're gonna hear from Frank Clark, Travis Kelce, and LDT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.